What's your dream? Peace to the people. Welcome back. You're on the move with Mike Africa Jr. And this is my podcast where we illuminate the struggles of the people, inform the uninformed, and give you nothing but the truth. On the Move is here to disrupt the system and spark a global revolutionary change. Change is what we need. Like Sam Cooke said, a change is going to come. But like Gandhi said, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. And even though Gandhi wasn't perfect, he said something that was true. And when the power of truth is present, you better respect it. So check this out. Today, I've got my parents back, Mike and Deb, back to chop it up with me. Hey, Mom and Dad, how y'all feel?
Okay, how you doing?
What's the chuckle about? Anyway, we'll get into it. I'm sure y'all got something to say. So I know we've got some timely things to talk about, but first we got to talk about Gimme Two. Gimme Two. Now, y'all know Gimme Two. For the people out there who listen to the show, they know. For the first time listeners, activists are multifaceted, and oftentimes people don't think of us as doing anything except rallying and protesting and making a lot of noise. Gimme Two is a way to spotlight other things that we got going on in our lives, because we got other things going on in our lives. All right, as Dad waves an insect from floating around his head, this episode is about Gimme Two, and sometimes we do three because Gimme Six takes a long time. So Gimme Two. Okay, I'll do one and then you guys will do one each. Unless you guys want to go first. Mom, you want to go first? Ladies first?
Okay, y'all go first.
Okay, let's go.
I do have a couple of gimmies. Well, for one, my sister-in-law is sitting right here. Okay. With us, and that's such a pleasure, and also it just really makes me feel good because she wanted to come down here and just sit in on the podcast. She wanted to be an audience, and we've been there spending most of the afternoon with her, and she loves to say when we whenever we finish what we have to do, she says, okay, it's time for lunch. And we have a good lunch together, and it just made me feel good because I feel like I'm giving back also so much of what she has put into you guys' lives when we were away. So that's one of my gimme twos.
Yeah, well, you know, your mom just stole my gimme.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. My big sister sitting over there in the cut. Your mom went right for it. but that's, you know.
A gimme bandit, huh?
Yeah, such a pleasure for
enough.
Us. Big sis is enough. To share, you know, she's been such an amazing influence in my life, and such a protector and upholder of the ideals of our family. She's always, always displayed it. You know, it was always on display for her. You can speak to it yourself when you were growing up, how big sis was and how reliable and giving and caring and loving. So, yeah, it is indeed an honor for me to have my big sister here, because I love her so.
Clap it up for big sis and Aunt Neat. Listen, that's real. I mean, for me, yeah, it's always great to see Aunt Neat. It's always great to hear her name, you know, to hear her voice is a joy. Yes, wow, it is amazing. And I remember, like, when we were kids, like, you know, we didn't have a whole lot going on with other people helping out, right? Whenever we saw Aunt Neat, we knew it was something good. Something good was about to happen. You know what I mean? So that's it. Give me one. Aunt Neat, number one. That's it. I like it. Thanks for stealing adjusted to give me two, Bob. That worked out nice.
Oh, you're welcome.
So we're getting ramped up in the holiday season, right? And I know a lot of people are thankful and grateful for what they have, and that's at the top of people's minds right now. Right. And gratitude is a strong and deeply rooted emotion of appreciation. Right. There's like these different elements of gratitude. Right. You know how some words mean more than one thing? And they say gratitude has three different components to it. You know, the positive feelings of gratitude can inspire appreciation, and that in turn makes other people's like likely to help us. And with gratitude, people acknowledge goodness in their lives, right? And as a result of gratitude, also helps people and connect to something larger than themselves as individuals, to other people. And sometimes people use that gratitude to connect to even higher powers, right? thinking about gratitude in that way, I guess the feeling of grateful and good things that you got going on in your lives, we just talked about Aunt Neet as a person that we all have in common that we're grateful for. But like, what else are you grateful for during this time, this holiday time and all of this? Tell me something that makes you feel gratitude. Let's start with Dad, since Mom might, she might hijack the next show. She might hijack you.
Yeah, well, you know, gratitude is something that is not particularly produced by a certain time of year for me. You know, we have so many things to be grateful for within our lives. You know, our families are chief among them, you know, and you know, you can't say enough about the support and love that, you know, was shown us in the most desolate of times, whenever things were particularly bad for us, where, you know, all you had was, you know, you had to depend on something. You always knew that your family was going to do whatever they could and show you whatever they could. They always had a hug for you. They always had a warm look. You know, we talked about Big Sis earlier, you know, she had messages, you know, and her message was, when our parents were no longer here, she brought the message of our parents to us. She brought the example of our parents to us. Of course, when our parents were still here, if you needed something, you particularly, or any of the kids, who do we go?
Aunt Neet.
We went to Aunt Neet. So, and it's not just, you know, within our nuclear family, because we also have another guest in the room.
Uh-huh.
Right? And Russ.
Uh-huh.
Junior. He's always been a very good friend, a very good support person who was like family, right? And his dad, who was recently released.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, and we're going to get into that. Well, it wasn't last week. It was maybe a couple weeks ago. But that's really important stuff, right? Because family is the spirit of family, and gratitude doesn't just come from your family, even though it can, for sure.
Right.
But it doesn't only come from your blood family.
Right.
Right. And that is something has really helped me out throughout my life. You know, just having other people to help. And it didn't matter who they were, as long as they were coming to help.
I wanted to just make one more point.
Okay.
So the,
you know, what?
No, I just want to continue on that
no,
point.
No, I was, the reason I laughed is because there was a time when you didn't talk much.
So what you saying? I'm hogging it.
No,
thing now?
I'm just saying I like this. I like the, you know, you're a very honest person. You're very deliberate in the things you say, and you don't say things that you don't mean. So I really appreciate you, you know, saying, talking, right? So, you know, that's it.
So the point I wanted to make, continuing on with Russ and his father, right, and his family, because they all seem to, you know, you don't always get that where everybody, you know, you can see is drinking from the same well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his family is that way, and they're all that. We've had several conversations, Russ and I, and his father, you know, Maroon, and Russ Jr. too, but, you know, his father too, when we were in prison. And it was I was flabbergasted when he won a suit. He was in the hole for...
What do you mean, won a suit?
He won a lawsuit that, you know, it wasn't as spectacular that he won it, but it was really spectacular that he won $100,000 from it.
Uh-huh.
From somebody being in the hole. I've been in the hole for years. Ain't give me nothing. Chuck was in the hole.
So they give you a hard time, huh?
Right. More, no, they gave you more hole time. They give you 100 grand. So that he won was spectacular. But what he did with his winnings was even more astounding.
Why was that more astounding?
Because he gave it away.
What do you mean he gave it away?
He donated it to a lot of folks.
Oh, yeah. I remember we talked
to
about this.
To a lot of people. He donated to a lot of people. He shared it, I should say. He shared it with a lot of people. You know, and that's the essence of this man. You know, prisoners that wasn't necessarily activists, just in need of a tablet or in need of commissary, in need of certain things. He shared it. That's in prison. Outside of prison, organizations. you know, because the essence of an activist for real is love of community, love of the people, man. And that's what he demonstrated yet again.
One of the reasons why I wanted to do this podcast is to humanize revolutionaries, because people just don't know who we are. And that's why Give Me Two is so important, because people would never know the heart of people. They think that we're just violent, crazy people who just have nothing going for us other than being violent and crazy. But to hear that and to talk about that, and I've known Russ, we were teenagers. And that exact example that you talk about with his father is how he's been as long as I've known him, and his sisters too.
That's why I said the whole family.
The whole family. Okay, so Mom, talk to me. What are you gracious? How do you say gratitude? Gracious for? Is that proper?
Yeah, that's proper. Proper.
You know,
that's
I only proper. Got a sixth grade education. I need some help from time.
That's
to time.
Proper. Gracious for?
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk to me.
Oh man, I'm grateful for a lot of things. I can't even begin because my list is so long. And I want to hope that my gratitude outweighs anything else, but I am certainly grateful for, are we over time? I'm certainly grateful for having the opportunity, the chance to start a second chance in life, you know, and what I mean, life is just, you know, out here with the love of my life.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute. Mike and Mike Jr. Okay.
I mean,
both the loves of my lives. Of course. And you know, the opportunity with my children, Whit, and our other two. So grateful that we have that opportunity to share whatever time we have left together at some point. And also, like I said, I always say, when I came out of prison after 40 years, I needed everything, but I wanted for nothing. And I am so grateful for that. You and Robin, I'm pretty sure I stepped on her toes a lot of ways in her house, but.
No, if you had stepped on her toes, she'd have told you. She'd have been like, you know how she told people, like, Robin would say, what's up?
It was, anyway.
I mean, it sounds like there's a strong family vibe emitting from us right now, right? But now, the controversial stuff that is in every family's lives, right? Everybody has that one or two aunts or uncles that they, when they see them coming through the door, like, oh God, here she comes.
Around Thanksgiving time.
Around Thanksgiving time, right? So like, what do you say to the people who are experiencing that a lot, right? How do you deal with that? Like, I don't want to say unwanted guest, but the person that just kind of brings the mood down when they walk into the room. Like, how do you deal with that feeling?
Well, I'm saying this podcast ain't about that. you said it's supposed to be about gratitude.
I'm trying to help the people who may be feeling that way. I mean, we have a lot of experience with negativity, right?
Yeah. Well,
how do we share our experience with the people who may not understand that it's not the best thing ain't to go give Uncle Joe that right hook that you might want to give them, right? It's the, you know, something else.
So you always pan me about my taste in music or my genres and all that. Dang. So you got to go back. I'm just saying, go back to Gil Scott, man. He says,
what he said?
You know, you may be this, you may treat me this way, you may treat me that way. But at the end of the day, all I have to say is peace go with your brother.
Peace go with your brother.
I say,
what you say, Mom?
I say you find something to keep that mood and keep that positivity going. So no matter who is in your life, and Uncle Pete, you know what? I don't know. Here he comes. But you find something to say, you know what, though? He may be annoying. She may be annoying. But you know what, though? He's so good when it comes to certain things. He's so good when it comes to the animals. You know, like Bebo. Like a lot of people don't like Bebo.
I like my dog. You know what?
But when your dad comes down, he is so grateful because Bebo is so grateful when your dad comes down here because he know he get ready to go for the walk and he get ready to get a whole lot of attention.
Yeah, he loves dad. And dad loves him. Yeah. You know, I think that's a good thing. Like,
You find something because
everybody
there,
has something
right.
good in them, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has a story to tell. And if you talk to those people and like get to know them a little bit, maybe you'll.
Or you pull it out of them. You know, some people can, you know, you find ways to relate to, because you're not always going to get along 100% in every relationship. I don't care if you're husband and wife. I don't care what kind of relationship. You know, you're never going to get along 100%. So you find that little percentage sometimes that you can have a common ground with, you know, even if it's just, it's like kids, you know, once you become adults, like the kids is one, okay, daddy, can you help me? Mommy, can you help me draw this little clown? So you find that spot, like, okay, let me go back to my, and you have that patience.
So when my son is 23 years old and he's like, daddy, can you help me draw this clown?
Not daddy, not 23.
I mean, he don't call me daddy no more. He's 23.
Not 23.
Nah.
A little baby, maybe. A little baby might come
maybe,
to you. And,
maybe Aaliyah.
And you have to go trick or treat or go have to go do something, you know. But that's, in fact, let me, before I forget, Tom.
Okay.
And it's kind of like my second gimme too, even though we only hit three even between though. Us. Yes. Uh-huh. But anyway, but one of my other things is that my sisters came over to my house the other day and we had a really good time. My two sisters, Sharon and Gail. And I definitely do want to just say how grateful I am for them too, because they are so, Gail always tells me whenever we talk and she'll say, I don't understand. She said, you know what? I don't know what my purpose is. People have these things like Dee Dee. She, you know, she gives to the homeless and she, other people do these things. What do I need to find what purpose I have in life. I said, Gail, don't you know you're always there for the family? No matter what, who's in trouble, you always got a kind word or something to say or a voice. You know, you're always there for the family, no matter what. You're always there for somebody. Danny with Dennis's kids and, you know, always just trying to, you know, keep the family some kind of way in it. So, but I'm grateful to my sisters and my families, my nieces, my, you know, people. It's like I said, it's just so many.
Okay.
Just so many. So.
That's, yeah. One of the elements in gratitude is acknowledging your gratitude to the people who have made your life better. And it sounds like that's what you're speaking to with Auntie Gail.
Yeah, it's, you know, we've been through a lot of conversations, you know, throughout these years, and people just did not have a lot of some people really didn't have a lot of good, really strong relationships with their relatives and particularly their children. You know, so I am, you know, you, being away from them for so long. And always having welcoming arms into their families, into their homes, and is really nice. It's really nice. You know, it's not always, you would think it was always expected.
What do you mean always expect? Like you would expect them to be that way all the time?
You know, when you feel a certain way about a person and you know how much you give, how giving you are to those people, mm-hmm. it's kind of expected that they would see that they wouldn't have a problem with
reciprocating.
With reciprocating.
It ain't always like that.
It's not. But to have that once we got out was really nice. You know, it's not, you know, it don't come without baggage, as your mom alluded to, you know, a minute ago. And there's cost to being away, to being separated. There's definite cost to that, man. And it causes things that sometimes you can't always discern. You don't always see it. You don't always understand it. But you're grateful to have the chance to be here to rectify and repair relationships.
I would imagine that being away that long has extremely heightened your level of gratitude for those people who show that kind of love. Would you say that's true?
heightened it.
Yeah.
Sure.
Makes you appreciate it more, right?
It does. You know, but I think once you start having children, that the expectation of, you know, you can't always expect. You can't all automatically assume anything about any relationship. I think it's always a work in progress. And you always have to give it the same thing that you would in any relationship. You have to give it respect. You have to give it space sometimes. You have to give it time to heal. You know, if it's hurting, you know, you have to be respectful of that process.
Yeah. You know, I appreciate you saying that about kids too. Cause like, I think a big mistake that a lot of people make with their kids is they think that their kids are automatically going to feel a certain way about them just because they're their kids. And that ain't true. People, your kids might turn out to be the ones who have problems with you the most, you know, depending on how you raise them and what you put into them. And sometimes you could put everything into them and it still don't come out the way you expected it to. So that, yeah. I mean, and sometimes, but you still have to put that work in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And you would think that, okay, well, why wouldn't you be an expert in raising children? Since you were a child.
Oh, here we go.
You were a child at one time. So you should know exactly how to treat your kids.
Right, and know what he's thinking and all that.
Yeah, that never translates. By the time you become an adult, the things that you were taught an adult is supposed to say and do and behave like, that's what you take on. Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to really love spaghetti and meatballs. I'm gonna feed my kids that every night. That don't work.
And especially when you look back onto when you were a kid and some of the stupid stuff you done.
I didn't do that stupid when I was a kid.
That you forgot.
Everything I did when I was a kid was smart.
You know what? I ain't gonna do that with my kids, because then you take on a role of, okay, you know what? I did this dumb mistake, so I'm gonna make sure I don't do this kid. I was poor, so I'm gonna make sure my kids have money. So like, you know what I mean? So yeah, you just take on that.
So the other part of this gratitude word that we're using today is expressing appreciation for the good things that we got in acts of kindness. So I guess my question is, how do you give back? You've gotten so much from so many people, even though a lot was taken from you, people tried to replenish as much as we could to fill that void, right? So how do you give back to those people, or how does that work? Is there even a way to begin to start that process? How do you do it?
You know what? That's a good question, because it kind of comes with me on a personal level, day to day. If, you know, when I know these people have done things for me, if I find out in the least that somebody needs my help with something, if I can do it, I want to do it. And I'm going to try my best to do it. So come hell or high water, unless something is in my way, if I feel like these people or this person have done something for me or have put out, I will try my best to do whatever it is that they might ask me to, or might allude to, or that I feel that they might like, you know, when the time comes. It's not a pity pat answer.
What do you mean pity pat? What's that?
Well, what I mean is, like, it's not, okay, today I'm going to do this for need. Today I'm going to do that. You know, and right now, you know, if I feel like she needs me, I'm like, okay, let's make this work. You know, same thing with other people. Sandy, she's just been so phenomenal with all the support she's given us. And if going to a movie with her would make her feel good, then I want to do it. So it's not even a volume thing. It's not, you know, it could just be a call or a text, you know, thank you for thinking about me, you know, so I just take it as it comes.
Okay. You wanted to say something about that, Dad?
Sure. You know, relationships are the same, I think. I mean, that your gratitude is showing that, you know, my brothers, I want to see my brothers. I always want to see my brothers. You know, if they needed anything, it doesn't matter that I was away for 40 years. You know, it's just a thing that they're my brothers. So it's not a thing where I'm trying to repay anything that they've done, even though I'm grateful for what they've done, mm-hmm. for being, you know, my brothers. But it's not any extra effort that I'm going to make a really concerted effort to repay them. I'm going to be their brother, you know, and I think my attitudes and my feelings towards my brothers is just something that will, you know, hopefully show I don't think it's any extra effort that I have to put into it. And I think that the people we met along the way, we are showing our gratitude by the things we say, by the road we continue to hoe, and hopefully they'll feel it in our effort.
I think people that experience being in your presence, especially people that, you know you, know both of you, I think they feel it. I don't hear all the feedback that I hear from you guys is always very positive, and the people always show a lot of love and respect.
Whenever I talk to people in person, or I just ran into somebody last week, and she was just talking about how grateful she was for the example that she saw coming from us. She wrote a letter for Mike for the parole board, and she was in tears, and she was just saying, I can't imagine what you've gone through, you know, with, you know, separated from your children and all that. She said, but I just want you to know, she said, I've been through so many hard times, she says, and just thinking about you, she said, it made me push hard to get through it. She was sincere. She had tears in her eyes, and she said, so I am sorry for what you went through, she said, but just know that it was not unnoticed. It was not unfelt. She said, you just will never know. And that's the second person I had one and that week. And another person said the same thing to me. She said, you just will never know the impact that you had on people.
Wow. That's powerful.
That's what Sandy says to me. She says, I said, well, Sandy, I want to do something. You're always doing something for me. She said, no. We need to give you. You're the ones that did all this work. So, but anyway.
Yeah, that makes me feel good to hear it. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I remember about both of y'all when y'all were in prison, I wish we had a camera on y'all, because like the camera, like this is radio, or not radio, you know what I mean, podcast. So the people can't see y'all right now, but I wish we had a camera on y'all right now. But one of the things that I remember when y'all were in prison that stuck out for me, one of the many things that stuck out for me, was that y'all didn't come home with this idea and attitude of being grateful and showing gratitude. Y'all were doing that while y'all were in prison too, right? I mean, when people would write y'all letters, you made sure that you wrote them back, and the impact that people felt from when they communicated with you was the same, even while you were facing, you know, that 100-year sentence in prison and in the hole, as you spoke about earlier too.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the point, right? I mean, the life that people paint of an activist is one that, you know, this angry person, and, you know, you just hate people, and, you know, and it's just the opposite.
So my next question, I guess that's the answer to it. I was going to ask, was it easy to be that way? Was it easy to, did you have to push beyond any kind of like negative feelings to actually be that way, or was it just, no, this is just how I, you know,
this is
what you do.
This is just what I do. This is just what I do.
You know,
reciprocate.
People are active because of your caring about a particular issue.
Say that again. Or say that people are active because of their heart. Their care.
Because of their caring, because of their concern. You know, to speak out, to help, to protect. That's why, you know, it's not a thing that they're angry. Before an incident happened, they was probably home just chilling, right? Or they were with their friends, or they were with their loved ones, or they were doing whatever they wanted to do. It's circumstances that bring them to the street or to the courts or to talk about climate change or the environment or animals or whatever. Is there a love of that situation, you know, of those folks in that particular situation? And their concern about it brings them there, and their concern about them, you know, almost compels them to speak about it. or show support towards it. That's why they're there. You know, so while we were there, since we had to be there anyway, people came to us or, you know, we saw certain situations happening while we were there and we spoke on them or we helped them in the ways that we could.
You right, Mom?
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where it comes from. That's where it emanates from. It's from, you know, caring.
Caring. I like that. There's water, Mom. You can grab some. Yeah. You know, sometimes I think, I don't even know how to say this. I don't think I hate anyone. I don't think I hate anyone. I get mad and angry or whatever, but I don't think I hate anyone. And I think that probably is probably just because of the way I was taught. You know what I mean? It's not about being angry or anything. It's just you do what you do. You help people to help you and you keep it moving, right? And help other people who can't do for themselves too. That's a big part of it, right? People that you can't do for themselves. So let me ask you a question that's kind of similar to this and on the same thing, but kind of in a different vein, I guess. What's one of your favorite ways, Mom, I'll start with you. What's one of your favorite ways to show gratitude? I'll tell you one of mine, okay. Right? I like to have parties. I like to play soccer. I like to be at events. I like to go to events and just, I like to bring people in and do things with them, right? Like when I get the kids together or get people together and say, let's play soccer. And you don't have to worry about anything. Just come and we're going to play. We're going to exercise. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat. We're going to drink water and whatever drinks they like to drink. Not, you know, whatever. And I love having parties and bringing people. And I love cooking for people. Right. That's how I want to just show people how I feel. Right. And I don't always get to do that. Right. Just because of whatever, you know, they can't always do that. You got to work. You got to whatever. It costs money to do that. Whatever. But that's the kind of stuff I like to do. I like to bring people together and have fun together. What's yours?
You knew I was going to say that.
I had. You know what? I took a telepathy class earlier today and it helps me understand exactly what somebody else is going to say.
No, I like doing that kind of stuff too. Just family, just bring the family. But I also like doing things for people for personal, like things, because things that may not always mean a lot to people, to certain people. So sometimes I just gauge people by their own personalities.
So you mean like if you bring it, like having a party, people might not get the direct attention that you want to give them.
So, right. Uh-huh. Right. And like I said, just sometimes just spending time with a person, you know, just 45 minutes, an hour, just spending time with them, talking on the phone, you know, sending them a text for their birthday. They don't even know. Just being a good friend. I had this friend who I was in prison with. I never knew how she felt. When she got out, she sent me all kinds of things, like money. You know, she got the phone thing and everything. She sent me, you know, access packages and everything. Never knew why she...
What's that?
Like access packages, like packages you can get like 4 times a year where you can get all kinds of food packages. That the prison provide.
Uh-huh.
Well, they don't provide it, but they allow you to go to a vendor.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh. So she was sending these back like $50 every time you wanted to send one.
And you know, $80.
Oh yeah, right. That's right. 80.
I remember.
Yeah, you did.
I bought quite a few.
Yeah, you did. And she said, I never, she said, you know what, Debbie, she said, I never told you this. She says, I never promised to do nothing for you because I did not want to be one of those people who promised to do something for somebody and didn't do it. She said, but you were my roommate for this year and a half to 2 years. She says, and you were the best roommate I ever had in prison. She said, and I've always appreciated it. And I want to do this for you. To show her gratitude. But I never knew that. Mm. I never knew that about her. So if I just text her or call her, she's so excited. You know, when we just went to Pittsburgh about a month ago, and I saw her. We saw her up there. Mm. And she was just so excited. And she was like, do you have something to tell me? And I'm like, no, I didn't tell you first because I knew you would be, when are you coming? When are you coming? How is it going? What time is it going to be? Where are you going to stay? And I said, so I told you last, but just a little bit of that. She is so happy and grateful because that's just the kind of person she is. So that's how I try to return.
Nice. What about you, Dad? The question was, Jeopardy music. No, that.
Yeah, if the time is up.
It's all good. We forgive you. The question was, what's your favorite way to show gratitude?
Right. Right. So I held on to it for a while.
Uh-huh. It drifted, but you... Yeah. Jack, come back, Jack. Jack. Oh, you want me to ask it again?
No.
Okay, good.
I got you. Well, when I was a kid.
Okay.
I was kind of wild.
This is going to be good.
No, this is going to be quick, too. Okay, I was kind of wild, right? And, you know, the seeds my parents was trying to plant didn't immediately take.
Uh-huh.
And my father had an expression for me. He would say, Maka, you's a terry ass right on.
A what?
A terry ass.
Wait, hold on. A terry ass what?
Right on.
A terry ass right on.
Just continuing to be.
Uh-huh.
A terry ass. Now, I didn't understand exactly what he meant, but I understood the sentiment. You're just saying I was acting up all the time.
Hold up. Okay, I'm gonna get through this with you. Okay, go.
So my father's, you know, as you might have guessed, is from the country. So he's, you know, anyway, that's what he'd say. And mom had her particular way of saying it also, you know, and I guess the community had its own way and, you know, the people whose lives I encountered over the years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... the best way to show my gratitude, I'd like to think,
uh-huh,
is to show them that some of the examples they was trying to instill in me flourished. And it flourished because of keeping their example in my head about being a good person and a caring person. And I'd like to think that I show gratitude and homage to them because I held on to those examples and I tried to instill them in others, pass it forward. So when you say that we were the way we were while we were away and how we are towards other people, that's the examples I learned from our folks.
That passed, and it passed on. You know, that passed right on. That's good. That's good. All right, we don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to ask this last question. What's your favorite way to receive gratitude?
Oh, gosh. You don't want me to, come on, don't want me to answer that.
Well, maybe we'll give you some time to adjust to that question in the way that you want to answer it. I'll tell you one for me. the favorite way to receive gratitude. You know what? No. Because I don't want you to think I'm still in your joint with this telepathy thing. So go ahead. Go ahead, Ma. It's your turn.
Well, I would like to receive gratitude in a lot of ways. Like the examples that I spoke about earlier were very great examples for receiving gratitude, especially since I feel like I've somewhat made a mess of things with my child and with my, the things that have happened along the way. But so those examples of receiving gratitude is definitely very heartfelt for me. And
you mean like when I buy you a cell phone for Mother's Day?
Oh, I love receiving that guy.
gifts keep coming.
I like money. I love money. I like to get money. I probably shouldn't have said that, like Richard Williams said it when he said, I probably shouldn't have said that.
Money.
But you know what? Listen,
I love when people
look
send
at this
me money.
Way.
It feels good.
I look at it this way. Listen, things that I like, the things that I want, it's not so much of a gratitude thing for as far as money. I like to receive gratitude in other ways, but I like money because I can buy things and do things with it that I like, that I want.
I think that's why most people like money.
Right.
So they can go do things. I mean,
right.
Boom. It's there. There it is. Brad.
There it is. Mm-hmm.
Talk to me, Dad. Want me to ask the question again?
Sure.
Okay. So what's your favorite way to receive gratitude?
To receive gratitude. I guess to know that you're all right, man. You know? To know that you frowned. He said, what?
What? Huh? What?
Yeah. You know, it feels good when you've talked to people for years. And maybe when you saw them in a certain particular situation, they were struggling. They were having problems. They were angry. And they were, really, really annoyed. And you calmed them down some, you know, and you had a good talk, you know. So when they come back and they say that, oh, man, that... you know, I was in a situation, I was in a space, man, that it was not good. It was not good. And you helped me out. You know, you helped me out just a few words or just, you know, getting somebody off my back or something. That feels so good, man. That feels so good. Yeah. You know, that you can help somebody out and, you know, and I don't think that's anything that's special. You know, I think that's just how people should be.
I think what makes it special is that more people could be that way.
I think more people are that way.
Most people are good people. Most people are that way, I think, too.
They say that there are more good people in the world than there are bad people.
Who says that?
I don't know.
I think my therapist said that. She said there are more good people in the world than there are bad people, and it's the best way to think, because if there were more bad people, it would really be it, you think this is bad.
I think everybody has good in them, and I think everybody has bad in them. It all depends on what is nurtured in them. In a lot of ways, I mean, people can be born bad or born with bad tendencies and whatnot. But what's nurtured in people definitely has a big effect on how they behave and how they impact other people, I think. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and I think you have to fight to, if you're not born with it. It's just like, you know, people say I wasn't born wealthy or whatever. You know, if that's what you want, then you got to fight for it yourself. You know, and if you see that you're a particular way, and you don't want to be that way. You got to, you know, this is what my upbringing was, and this is how everybody else turned out, you know. So that's why I'm turning out. No, you got to fight. If you see it, if you recognize, if you're cognizant that it is bad, then you have to
create your own path.
That's right.
You got to create your own path and live your dream. That's why I started. Live your dream. What's your dream? Whatever it is, you better start trying to make it happen. We ain't got time. I ain't got time.
Nope, I ain't got time either.
I ain't got time for that. Anybody got time for that? Remember Sweet Brown? Anyway, all right. Well, as usual, we could do this all day. Time flies.
Take that thing out about that money.
Delete the part about the money? Nah, Mom, you done. You branded. Everybody's
gonna love it. Go ahead.
They're gonna be playing that song, All About the Benjamins, baby. That's what they're gonna be playing for your drama.
That's okay. I like to keep it real.
Hey, I see you just said, I love this, that, but actually I really just love money. Just like, you know, don't even play games with me. Just send me the greenbacks, Benjamins.
It ain't like that. It ain't like that.
All right, people, listen, y'all have yourself a wonderful time with your family, a wonderful life, and keep your dream alive by taking steps toward accomplishing all your missions that lead to the dream you're trying to see happen come into reality. People, that's a wrap. Thanks for coming into the studio today, Mom and Dad. Thank you very much. And I hope to see y'all again soon. I'm sure we will see each other again soon. Thanks, Aunt for coming in. And I hope we can give a little bit of the gratitude that we feel for you over these airwaves the same way. To the people out there that's listening, make sure you tune into the podcast On the Move with Mike Africa Jr. We'll see you on the other side. Peace out. God bless. Aunt Nee said, God bless. Y'all heard it right here first. God bless.